Today is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. There will be the blessing of articles after Mass at the communion rail. There will not be any benediction this evening. This Thursday, we will have the holy hour from 7 to 8 p.m., followed by benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. This Friday is the first Friday of the month, and the Mass will be at 8:30, followed by the Rosary and Conference. This Saturday is the first Saturday of the month, and the Mass is at 8:30. Volunteers who would like to assist us in mowing the outer fields of the landscape may come next Saturday, August 6th, after the 8:30 Mass. The feast this week, today, is the feast of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Tomorrow is the commemoration of the Holy Maccabees. Tuesday is the feast of St. Alphonsus Liguori. Thursday, the feast of St. Dominic. And Friday is the dedication of the Church of Our Lady of Snows. And Saturday is the feast of the Transfiguration of Our Lord. Oh, and thanks for all the prayers for the priests who are sick. Still just getting over it. You might be able to hear that in my voice. But on the, again, reminder, blessing of the articles today after Mass, no benediction today. Holy Hour this Thursday from 7 to 8, First Friday Mass and First Saturday. And then for those who would like to help with mowing the fields, that will be this Saturday after the 8:30 Mass. Now, this is a reminder, we've already announced it, but another reason for all of us who, as far as we know, everyone here has had your families and homes dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So every month we have the celebration of that when we have First Friday and the Holy Hour. So if you're not even able to come to the Holy Hour on Thursday, you can practice your own prayers and things at the same time at home. That's why your home has been consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So there's many things we've said in the past and could say now, but one thing I want to point out. The great apostle in the 20th century for this devotion, he single-handedly worked on it for decades, was a priest called Father Matteo. And he traveled the world in promoting this, and he would arrive at different places around the world, and people would come up to him and say to him, it was usually the father or husband, but it could be other people, but usually that was the case. Father Matteo, please come. My husband is dying, and he is refusing to see a priest or receive any sacraments. And so obviously the family was desperate. And Father Matteo would always ask them one question. Have you or anyone else been praying for him or her? Mostly it was him. And if those people said, yes, we have, he would always go to that deathbed. And he would always win a conversion. Now, obviously, God was with this priest. But he would comment and say, the secret is that people are praying for that person. We are being given the opportunity of these holy hours. For us to neglect it, especially when we personally have great problems to overcome, or we have people in our families or friends who are in desperate need of help, thinking of somebody right now, who doesn't want anything, any kind of help from the church at the end of his life. That's scary. For us to neglect this devotion is a crime. As far as the saints for this week, every one of these stories of the saints is stupendous. We cannot go into them. But we often enjoy this week because we feel it's Founders Week. Because we have St. Ignatius Loyola, which we all should have a special devotion to, because we have a statue right there. And his whole story we've heard in the past from our Father Superior. He founded the Order of the Society of Jesus, which we call the Jesuits. We have St. Alphonsus Liguori, who founded the Congregation of the Holy Redeemer called Redemptoris. And later in the week, we have St. Dominic, who founded the Order of Preachers we call the Dominicans. Now, we don't have a statue of St. Dominic, but we have a saint from his order, and that is St. Rose of Lima. So if you see what one of the nuns looks like, you can tell what St. Dominic looked like, and we cannot go through why they have the white instead of the usual black or brown. We won't explain that, but it's based on St. Dominic's life before he founded the order. He was a canon of the cathedral. And just by a little footnote, that is why the popes wear white, because St. Pius V was a Dominican and he kept his habit. And after that, the popes did the same thing. So, but we single out just in this as a group to mention this. God raises up saints for particular needs in the times that we live. And so to combat the Protestant Revolution, he raised up the Jesuits. Earlier, to fight the Albigensians, he raised up St. Dominic and the unique charisms of these orders to show how they combated the evil of the time. Stupendous. And St. Alphonsus, to fight the Jansenists and that cold feeling overcoming the church in restricting the love of the Sacred Heart. The Jesuits, too, overcoming that. St. Blessed Columbia being the helper to St. Margaret Mary. So we point these people out. And, of course, we have Our Lady of Snows on Friday, which is a great day. It's the first Friday, so that's a great celebration there. And also Saturday is the Transfiguration. That is so great that we have 2 days celebrating it, once in Lent, and then its own feast day here. We can't comment about that, but all that's around it. The one thing we do want to emphasize a little bit is just a commemoration tomorrow for the Holy Maccabees. We don't often speak about them, but this is so interesting. As far as I recall, this is the only feast day for Old Testament saints. These people lived about 150 years before the time of our Lord. And what had happened was that these Hellenistic peoples led by one of those descendants of Alexander the Great had come in and conquered Palestine. That whole region was always a crossroads, so it was always being battled over. And they came in and they imposed the Greek, which was pagan, culture on the Jews. And some of the Jews went right over to that because that was a means of being accepted and getting promotion in this new regime. And so one of the major things that they imposed was what they called a gymnasium. This is a place where they did many things there, but they also were promoting the exercise and things like that. But they were also doing things for education, and they had their libraries there and all that. But they were also trying to break down all of the practices of the Jewish religion so that the people would become Hellenized. And the traditional Jews refused to do that. They would not go to the gymnasium. They would not eat the forbidden foods like pork. And so to overcome this, as what usually happens in the end, if bribes and things don't work, then the persecution starts. And so this tomorrow commemorates these seven sons. And the Bible tells us exactly about their martyrdom and their mother. We want you to hear a little bit of what the Bible tells us, God's word. And just before, this is in the second book of Maccabees, chapter 7. But just before that, we want to point out somebody who's not part of this seven Maccabees, holy Maccabees. He was an old man. His name was Eleazar. He was 90 years old. And they were trying as best they could to have him just eat some pork, so they wouldn't have to make an example of him. And some of the people that actually knew him wanted to try and save him and make it easy for him. So what they said to him was this: okay, we're not going to make you eat the pork, but here is some permitted meat. Why don't you just eat this? And we'll accept that. You see what's happening? And this is what he said. "For it doth not become our age," said he, "to dissemble." That means do something that appears to be one thing and is not. To lie by action. "Whereby many young persons might think that Eleazar, at the age of 80 years, was gone over to the life of the heathens. And so they, through my dissimulation, and for a little time of a corruptible life, should be deceived. And hereby I should bring a stain and a curse upon my old age." And that did not win any favor. And of course, even the people who were trying to get him to eat something that was okay, they turned on him with a violent fury. But here's how this chapter ends. It says, Thus did this man die, leaving not only to young men, but also to the whole nation, the memory of his death for an example of virtue and fortitude. We are those Maccabees. We are being tempted constantly to dissemble, to dissimulate, to give up what God has given to us to get along. And this man is an example, not just to the young of his day or to his nation, but to us, to remain true. We cannot read, which we wanted to do, the mother, seeing her six sons killed before her eyes and their statements as they're being killed, tortured. Cannot read that to you. And then this king, this evil king, takes the youngest one who's left and tries to win him over with all kinds of gifts and everything. And then he even says to the mother, "Look, why don't you try and save your youngest son?" And so she says, "I'll talk to him." And we have the words she said to him, which were not what the king expected. basically saying, I did not bring you into this world to turn on God and not go to heaven. That's my paraphrase. And then the son says, like, you don't have to worry, Mom. And now now the son then talks to this king. For we suffer thus for our sins. And though the Lord our God is angry with us a little while for our chastisement and correction, yet he will be reconciled again to his servants. And at the end he says, but I, like my brothers, offer up my life and my body for the laws of our fathers, calling upon God to be speedily merciful to our nation, and that thou, by torments and stripes, mayest confess that he alone is God. But in me and in my brethren, the wrath of the Almighty, which hath justly been brought upon our nation, shall cease. Now, I don't know about you, but are those people us? I feel bonded to them. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 15. Brethren, I recall to your minds the gospel that I preached to you, which also you received, wherein also you stand, and through which also you are being saved, if you hold it fast, as I preached it to you, unless you have believed to no purpose. For I delivered to you first of all what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and after that to the 11. Then he was seen by more than 500 brethren at one time, many of whom are with us still, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all, as by one born out of due time, he was seen also by me. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace in me has not been fruitless. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Mark chapter 7, verses 31 to 37. At that time, Jesus, departing from the district of Tyre, came by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the district of Decapolis. And they brought to him one deaf and dumb, and entreated him to lay his hand upon him. And taking him aside from the crowd, he put his fingers into the man's ears, and spitting, he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be thou opened. And his ears were at once opened, and the bond of his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak correctly. And he charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, so much the more did they continue to publish it, and so much the more did they wonder, saying, he has done all things well. He has made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I forgot this little PS on those Holy Maccabees. Parents, you should read what that mother said. We will not go into any detail on this. We all know it so well. But parents, you have a heavy burden to bring life into the world with God, helping God. And the only purpose is to get those souls to heaven. And when from this altar you have been given advice and counsel, and the warnings are disregarded all the time. And we see our youth disappear. Be like the mother of the Maccabees, not like the pagans outside. It's St. Alphonsus tells us in the Victories of the Martyrs, pray, pray, pray. Those martyrs were faithful to the end who prayed. Those who began to doubt and not pray did not persevere. So pray always. We live in, just to say, because we obviously don't have time to give the epistle and gospel the time they deserve, but we want to just say this. This is a renewal of the whole Paschal mystery, this Mass, as St. Paul goes through and says to us again, do not be fooled. Do not abandon the path you have taken as if it has been no purpose to it. He says, I am the least of the apostles, and he gives one of the criteria for that. I have seen the risen Christ. That's what makes an apostle. And then he starts ticking off all of the proofs for everybody. 500 people saw him. And then St. Peter, St. James, I, St. Paul, listing. He didn't list everybody because he didn't talk about St. Mary Magdalene. So do not listen to those evil ones. And then in the gospel, and it was beautiful. The gospel, St. Mark singles out details of the story. In the other accounts we see more. How the people, they had not seen our Lord for a while. And when he came, they were just carrying all their sick people. And you know, of course, that he healed all. You know that. He healed everybody. And all these people he healed there, then this one man he singles out and he took him apart and put his fingers into his ears and took his saliva and touched his tongue and said, be thou opened. This is the same ritual that is done as part of the sacramentals of baptism. You probably have seen it. The priest does these things, says the very sound. That's the very sound of the word our Lord used. Because at baptism, our ears are to be opened to the word of God so that we can speak and pray from the heart. That's all we can say about the epistle and gospel. We just want to say this. This is not unique. We have these founders for this week. All throughout history, the Maccabees, God's people have been tested. There has always been corruption. We have it all around us. So in that, it may be worse today than at other times. Probably true. But God has picked each one of us to live today. He did not pick us to live with St. Ignatius, St. Dominic, St. Alphonsus. He picked us to live today. That means he knows that we can live in this world and not be of it. Now we say this mostly for young people, but it's for everybody. Do not be corrupted. It's in everything. Just look at the news and you see the corruption all the time. And the worst corruption is in the most beautiful things, the most holy things. So we see the corruption of marriage. We see the corruption of the priesthood, not in itself, but how they twist and turn it, how they take the church and twist and turn it. And where can we get solace? I know where I get solace. And I'm telling you this so you can also. The place where corruption can't touch. where there's clarity, purity, love, confidence, where everything outside is lost, and we're there now, right at the altar. It never touches me there, although it may try to distract, and the angels are there to help us in prayer. This is the reality. No matter what else, we must hold on to the Mass. It is the embodiment of the faith that we all are willing to die for. And this communion verse, whole Mass is full of things for us to talk about, but the communion verse tells us how we must offer up the first fruits of our existence. Just as the Mass always tells us, let this offering be like those of the past, like the offering of Abel, like the offering of Abraham, like the offering of Melchizedek. Abel gave his first fruits, and for that he was killed out of jealousy. The communion reminds us of that. We give you our best, God. We hold back nothing. We are the modern Maccabees. We know we're suffering for our sins, our own personal sins, and for the sins of our ancestors and those around us, just like the Maccabees understood. We know that too. We are justly punished. But God, we love you. We are holding on. We know you will help us if we pray. And we will not give in to corruption. So at this Mass, any sentiments or thoughts that carry you, express them yourselves to God. And you know what? He will hear you. He will heal you. He will let you hear his word and speak the prayers you need to say, so that you, as the Maccabees, will be saved. And all of us will rejoice together in heaven one day. May God bless you.